Hello, bonjour, and welcome to Local First. I'm Candace Vetter, and today I'm speaking with local author Phil Gursky, who's going to tell us about his latest book and some of the other books he has out. Hi, Phil. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Candace, for having me on the program. It's a real honor to be with you today.
Oh, that's really nice that you're saying that. It's an honor for us to have you. So your latest book just came out recently. What's the title and what's it about?
So this latest book came out a few months ago. It is called From Village to Vimy to Victory, Russell Soldiers in the Great War, and it really is the story of the men from Russell, Ontario, who signed up to fight with what was called the Canadian Expeditionary Forces, or CEF, beginning in 1914 to go over to Europe and basically fight for Canada and the British Empire, because of course Britain was at war with Germany in 1914. And I wanted to sort of look into the background of what would drive men from a very small, and I'm talking 600 to 800 people back in 1914, to essentially drop everything, leave their wives, their parents, their children, and sign up to go fight in Europe. And as it turned out, there were over 160 men who did go fight in Europe for Canada, 19 of whom didn't make it back. They died. So it was just an effort to try and look at what Russell was like in 1914, what some of the motivations were for the men who did go to fight, and equally as importantly, what happened when they came home. Did they return to their lives? Were they injured, et cetera, et cetera? So it's basically a snapshot of it. What I think is a typical Eastern Ontario, maybe even Canadian village in the early part of the 20th century.
Yeah, that's, I had no idea that so many men had gone to the First World War from such a small place. It's quite astonishing. But I mean, there was that kind of fervor at the time to go fight for the motherland or something like that, right?
Well, exactly. So the call was for 25,000 soldiers. Orders in 1914, and that was vastly oversubscribed. There were well over 35,000 that signed up. By the end of 1918, fully more than 620,000 Canadians had gone to fight in the war, and it was about a 10% attrition rate. About 60,000 died. I think that, we're speaking here, over 100 years after the First World War was declared, we see war very differently right now, and I think rightfully so. Back in 1914, it was seen as an adventure. You mentioned, going to fight for king and country. There was a sense of patriotism, a sense of doing the right thing. And I don't think we have that same perspective on war anymore. But again, you got to bear in mind, this is a very small village. So about a quarter of the population left to go fight in the war. And for them, it would have been something that they needed to do and wanted to do. And I think it's one of the main motivations why they went in the first place.
Yeah, that's really interesting what motivated them. And also, I like that you've gotten into what happened when they came back, because there was a real shift in society at that time.
Absolutely. I think people had no idea about, this was the first modern war in a sense that you had massive killing machines. Of course, you had machine guns, you had aircraft, you had the invention of the tank in the First World War. This was a war where people, they fought with 19th century attitudes against 20th century weapons. This is why the slaughter was so indescribable. I remember one of the motivations for writing the book was I was in France in 2015, it happened to be at the site where the Battle of Beaumont-Hamel in 1916, the first battle of the Somme. And then the Newfoundland Regiment, of course, Newfoundland wasn't part of Canada back then. The Newfoundland Regiment went over the top out of the trenches, expecting to walk across the fields to fight the Germans, and about 90% were slaughtered in the first 20 minutes. So a lot of these men came back with horrific physical injuries, including amputations, because, of course, the medical care wasn't quite what it was today. In addition, mental afflictions, which people didn't understand back then. They didn't understand PTSD. They didn't understand shell shock. So I think for a lot of these men, it was like, okay, I'm home now, and now what do I do? And I also found out that very few of the men would share their experiences with their families. It's not that they were ashamed, but they wanted to put that behind them, and they probably felt their families wouldn't understand what it's like to live in a trench for 6 months with the rats and the lice and the cold and the mud and things like that. So a lot came back and did well, became bank managers, went back to the farm, opened businesses, but I'm sure a lot of them had an awful lot of psychological and spiritual trauma that was never really understood by their families back home.
Well, and when they came home too, it was different. I mean, women had taken over a lot of the men's jobs. Attitudes had changed. Clothing had changed. Women were wearing pants. They maybe didn't want to have disabled men come home and start telling them what to do again or something like that.
I think so. A lot of them were farmers. And so when they left, their wives took over the farms and they would have basically had to run them. And you're right. Society had changed. Many people say that Canada was born on the battlefield of World War One. It became a different nation as a consequence. Maybe that's true, maybe that's not so true, but you're absolutely right. The First World War engendered a lot of changes in society, followed by a depression after the war. Spanish flu, which hit Russell pretty hard. Luckily, no one died. But definitely, I think a different world to which they return. The sheer horror of World War One, you can sort of put behind them, but the world went on. And then, of course, 20 years later, we had the horrors of World War Two.
I know, it's hard to imagine. We don't have a lot of time. So tell us about your other books. I mean, you've really written, you really get into some of the nitty-gritty of the hard parts of society.
In Canada, 32 years. Part of my job was working at CSIS, so Canadian Security Intelligence Service and Counterterrorism. So my first six books are all about terrorism, understanding it from a Canadian angle, from an intelligence angle, trying to explain what terrorism is. My next to most recent book before this book on Russell Soldiers was an actual comprehensive history of terrorism in Canada from Confederation to the present called The Peaceable Kingdom. So this is a bit of a stretch for me, but it's also, it kind of marries my interest in local history with my desire to understand Russell better. And so I'll keep writing. It seems to me my retirement is all about writing books. See what happens later on.
Did you get any flack after you wrote the book from former colleagues at CSIS?
No, because I had vetted the manuscript with them. That's a kind of something we have to do. I want to make sure I wasn't disclosing any information that was not in the public domain. And as a consequence, I had to basically let them know what I was writing. And I guess to my credit, I suppose, they liked it. They didn't change any of the words. I was very careful to use open sources. Obviously, my interpretation of the open sources, but the information on the public domain.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add before we sign off?
No, you know what? I moved to Russell almost 3 years ago. I love living out here. It's amazing. Learn more about it through going to the Russell Historical Society, researching the book on the First World War. And it's just a real treat to understand more what this village has been through. Of course, we're now celebrating the 125th anniversary of the Place Village of Russell, dating back to 1898. And so I think it's a celebration of what Russell stands for.
Thanks. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Phil. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Candace.
I'm Candace Vetter. This is Local First on CJRO Radio. You were last on the dial. I'm first for local news.